Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's OMF on EEI.
Big game tonight in Washington.
Big game.
I don't know. Game two. Can we really get... If they lose tonight's game, are we going to panic?
If they lose tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, you should panic.
They can still win the series if they lose tonight's game.
I would going down 0-2, yeah, I think we should panic.
It's not like you get a big advantage, home ice advantage.
What do you mean? It's going to be... Oh, yeah, sorry. Not till May 29th.
That's right. We have to wait 12 days. The Red Sox are all excited. We're going to have four crowds
over there. Are you telling
me
you wouldn't panic if you're down 0-2?
No. No. Against Craig Anderson?
Well, for the moment right now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's not necessarily going to be there the whole time.
I don't think you'd panic. I don't think you'd feel good, but it's not quite a panic. You know what I mean? So, because like, you could sit there and say, okay, you come home and you take care of two, and you win at home, they won at home, whatever. You deal with it.
I think Bruins fans will be beside themselves if they lose this game tonight. And if Tuca is not great in this game, and they, again, 2-1, let's say. And let's say they go out, and your first line, once again, does not give you anything. It's 2-1, and Tuca gives up a soft one that you sit there and say, maybe he could have handled that one a little bit better. They'll be all over Tuca tomorrow freaking out.
Well, this should make you feel better then. What? I love my Boston Sports Info guy.
Go ahead.
Tuca Rask, playoff career in game two when losing game one.
Oh, here we
go. He is 5-0.
There you go.
He is 5-0.
They are good.
You should probably just relax, and they will probably win this.
They're not going to lose tonight's game. I'm convinced they're going to win like 3-1. They get off to a great start. You're going to get something out of that first line, maybe something out of the second line. I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying if they're down 0-2, I don't think the series
is over.
Shots
on goal is going to be double what it was Saturday. Like that, to me, they are going to be peppering the hell out of Craig.
Yeah, this game wasn't on Tuca, but there's just so much surrounding him. I mean, if Swayman wasn't behind him, if Halak was there, we already caught that act last year, we'd sit there and say, whatever.
Right.
You ride with Tuca, live and die with the guy. Hey, if he's good, he's good. If he's not, then they go home.
Right.
Swayman adds a different thing. So now it's like the people that just hated Tuca anyways and would constantly look at every goal and rewind and watch again and rewind again because they're looking for a soft goal, right, so they can criticize him. You know, now are we jumping on it? I don't care. They lost 3-2. He gave up three. Well, tips, I mean, you know, you got McAvoy losing his stick. The last one was sort of fluky. Gets tipped, hits him in the chest. He goes down, closes his pads, and actually knocks the puck in between his legs by closing his pads. Kind of fluky. But if you hate Tuca, you just can't wait to jump on it.
You hate Tuca because
you got to see what it looks like here. If they lose again, you got to see what it looks like. If it's soft goals, like, you know, like clear shot, should have handled it. All right. I don't know. I don't think he does it in game three, even still. But, I mean, if it's that bad, I guess, tonight, there's a chance.
I think if he's shaky tonight, if he's shaky, and I don't think he will be, I don't either. But let's say he is shaky. You said the possibility. I think there is a chance Swayman will be up
there. Yeah, I just don't think he's shaky. I think he's freaking good. I think he's really, really good. Yeah. I think, yes, you have a good goalie behind him. A kid you don't know much about. 10 games, whatever. It looked awesome. I get it. But I think Tuca is still really, really good. The bottom line is your top two lines. You got to get a lot more out of them. I mean, Smith, that whole second line is -2. You know, they're on the ice, and they're trying to go up against, you know, these guys, and it's not working right now. I mean, they're just, you know, they're eating them alive. Ovechkin, they were killing them. Ovechkin's healthy. That's another huge concern. I was hoping that guy would be banged up. Instead, he's flying around, hitting everything in sight. That's not good.
No, not good at all. But I still think that this is... And nobody. Did you find anybody that liked the Capitals? I looked down in Washington. I couldn't find people who liked the Capitals to win the series.
They're beat up coming in.
Beat up.
Playing hot.
Right.
Well, the thing that kind of just was like, if you want to go, what the hell happened? Why didn't they take advantage of the opportunity that they have? So Craig Anderson comes in, a 40-year-old, barely played at all. He's really just there.
Break
glass 30, in case of emergency. Hey, we got a younger kid out there. Could you just be a mentor for him? We really don't want you to play at all. But all the attention gets put right on Tuukka Rask. I guess I understand it, but I just don't. I wish people would stop. It's like hockey fans and Celtics fans. Like Celtics fans will excuse it away till the day they die. They will like, oh, no, nothing to see here. Tuukka's great. But a Bruins fan, holy, can you imagine what a Bruins fan would sound like if he was actually a Celtics fan? And their attitude and their criticism toward the Celtics, it would be, everyone would be fired. Tatum would be gone. No one, and everybody would suck. Or they'd pick one guy. They'd blame every last thing on him.
We need a Green Teamer and a Bruin fan. Because I can hear the Green Teamer looking at the Bruin fan going, listen, you don't appreciate the little things.
Yeah, reasoning with them, yeah.
Tuukka spreads the ice out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's so good at spacing.
He's only 34. No, he'll get better.
Yeah, no, Tuukka's spacing. You don't appreciate the little things that Tuukka does to you on a given night.
You don't watch the game like
you don't see the game like I do. Bruins fans like, I don't care. Tuukka sucks.
Yeah.
But we said
it's
this.
It's his fault.
It's his fault.
We said this before.
Screw him.
Before game one. It was all going to be on Tuukka, and Tuukka was going to be the fall guy. And if they lose the series, even though he plays well, people will find a way. He didn't play well enough. He didn't just shut them down for one of these games. And that's what you have to do. And there's a history with Tuukka. They looked last year at the bubble. Unfortunately, it was a family issue. Most people are not, Bruins fans are not that sympathetic about the family issue. He left them. When they needed to win game seven year before, he did not win game seven. So that's their memory bank. And they look at Tim Thomas and they look at what he was in 2011. That was the true definition of a goaltender standing on his head. He was unbelievable.
Do you think that if there was an older, veteran goalie like a Hudobin, somebody like that who was backing up Rask, do you think there'd be less calls for Tuukka to be benched?
Yeah, yes. Lou said it with Halak.
Yeah, if Halak was there, we'd say, no, not putting Halak in.
They saw Swayman for like 9 games,
yeah,
and they loved the kid. And by the way, I agree with him. I love him too. He looks really polished. He does not look
premature.
Like a young kid.
It is this.
But it happens in the NHL. Young kids play late in seasons and in the postseason. The history is littered with
it.
In NHL history.
No, but that's obvious. My
point
is,
with the Blues a couple years
ago. I think be careful what you wish for.
Why?
You have no idea what Swayman is capable of doing. Sure, he could play great. He could also be a complete disaster. He could completely wilt under the pressure. He could completely freak out. And he could be the reason why you lose. Yes, okay, so fine. So there's Tuukka has this weird history attached with him, all these different
closing
issues
out,
that kind of
closing
follow
everything
him,
out.
That follow him everywhere he goes. But that would be a terrible mistake. Huge mistake if Bruce Cassidy decides to go ahead and sit Tuukka Rask and put in Swayman.
If you sit Tuukka Rask and go with Swayman and it doesn't work, does that light a fire in Tuukka's ass?
Yeah, maybe.
Or does he seem like a guy that goes the other way? It's like,
accept it.
Now you're going to go back to me. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think he's a different bird. And I think that's part of, he's a goalie. He's a different, a lot of goalies are different guys. And I think that's kind of the stuff, he says after games and talking about it. And it's just, I think people want more motion. But he's got this mentality of a goalie. It's like a closer. It's like a field goal kicker. Hey, I lost this game. Unlucky for me. Right? Hey, whatever. We're going to come back in game two. It's like Manny after, game six in Cleveland. Hey, if we win, we win. If we lose, we go home. No big deal. Not the end of the world. And it's like, no, it is the end
You're
of the
world. You're not upset enough.
So like the fan base, some of them are like, yeah, it doesn't bother you enough, which I don't agree with. I think it does, but I think mentally he's got to tell himself, I lost the game, whatever. I come back tonight and do the same thing.
See, I mentioned that there's a history here with Tuukka Rask and not closing things out. And that is where the Bruins fans are a little bit skeptical. I think the other aspect of it is the way he talks. So this is him talking about giving up the overtime game winner.
Yeah, well, just one timer after the blue line there. I think it was going over my head or at my head or something, and then hit a stick, hit my chest, and somehow end up in the net. I think I probably bumped it into my own net or something. I didn't really see the replay, but that's what I would guess. I think all the goals hit a stick. That's just, you know, how it goes sometimes. I think goalies in general are really good in this league. So, you know, it's a tough time to beat them with a direct shot anyway. So you're going to have some screens and deflections. And today they ended up having three of them. It's just, it's hockey. But I guess tough luck on me.
That's how it goes sometimes. I don't think the Bruins fans want to hear that. That's how it goes sometimes. It's and it's hockey.
Tough luck on me.
And that's him. That's always him. That's been him his entire career.
Yeah.
I think he cares. I don't think when he does these post-game press conferences, he's sitting. He's giving you a description of what happened. Yeah, this is what happened.
I wish we could go back and find a bunch of games where Tim Thomas gave up some goals, and I would love to hear his explanation of what happened. I would love to hear how. Was there passion in his voice?
No, Tim Thomas was not great at this. I told you, he played so incredibly. Without his performance,
he didn't win every single game.
Without his performance in 2011, they do not win the cup. He was by far the most valuable player in the postseason.
Okay, that's fine. Okay? My point is, but not every. He didn't win every single game. He did give up goals. Then they lost games because he gave up goals.
Closed it out.
Okay, but my point is, before that,
Rask has never
before that. Oh, and I guess maybe that's it. So you gave the comparison of Gostkowski and Vinatieri.
Same thing. It's the same thing. Like, Gostkowski had, like, his numbers, regular season, the consistency, everything. You look back in his career and you're like, oh, my God. Like, regular season, probably better than Vinatieri. But he doesn't have that, like, signature, you know, kick to win it. A lot of people look at it as, like, Belichick didn't trust him in some situations and went for it when they shouldn't have because he doesn't trust him. And I think Tuukka's the same way. You look at some of Tuukka's numbers, better than Tim Thomas. Hell, last year in 2018, he's one of the reasons why you were in the cup. The run he went, and I know that, you know, the schedule fell in place, but still, the run, he was unbelievable. It was, like, historic. And I remember looking at, like, Thomas's run in 11 and Tuukka's run in 18, thinking, as of right now, it's better. But I remember even thinking, going to that Stanley Cup.
We talked about it. You got to close it out.
The issue for him is, like, it's not over. So as great as he's been the first 3-4 rounds, whatever it was, he's still going to be judged on whether they win Game 7 or not.
Right.
And they lost, and what, 4-1? Whatever it was?
4-1.
2-0 early, and it was like, right. Typical Tuukka.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, we just forget how freaking great he was. I get it. He wasn't on top of his game, but neither did they. Came out flat. He had Game 7 at home. He looked like crap.
Yeah, he's been better year to year over a longer period of time than Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas was a late bloomer, you know? Late bloomer. But 2011... in the postseason, he was phenomenal. And as Lou said, he closed it out. Tuukka Rask was phenomenal a couple of years ago. He did not close it out. And you got to close it out. And that's the thing. And if he doesn't close it out this year, and he, let's say he retires or they don't re-sign him.
It's a failure.
Right.
He's a failure.
So people will look at him.
Yeah, but we're not gonna hold that first line of Bergeron and Pasternak and Marshall. We're not gonna hold them accountable at all.
They should be accountable for game one.
You know, they had nothing to do with the L. They had an unbelievable opportunity playing against an old goalie that hadn't played in like forever. Has playoff experience because he played for Ottawa. But here's a guy that doesn't think he's gonna play at all. Is thrown in there, and out of the 3v, you only put 7 shots on net.
Well, I think it's on them. I think it's on that first line tonight to come out and have first period, and the second line as well to come out and give them some offense in the first couple periods. Then you take all the pressure. Now you're putting all of the pressure on, you know, 40-year-old Craig Anderson.
Let's get inside his head. Make him feel nervous about it.
Yeah,
right.
That's the message I would be
sending.
Taylor
Hall drew a couple penalties. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're 1-for-4 in penalty, power play rather. But
yeah, you don't want to give them power plays. But that's the one thing you don't want to give Washington.
The one thing I feel good about the Bruins, number one, they're not the Celtics, so I trust them. Like, I just feel like it's in, like, their DNA. You know what I mean? That to come out tonight, play the way I think they're capable of, and win game two. Because I just trust them. Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, I just trust them in the postseason to come out and do what they have to do to win this game. I can't say that about the Celtics, but I can say that about this group. And Tuukka. I think Tuukka comes up and has a great game. They win game two. What'd you say, 3-1?
3-1.
I'll go 4-2.
Okay.
little more offense.
So Tyler just brought
maybe
me
four,
in.
I'll go 4-1. How's that?
I would
sound?
Say I was
going
to open empty net. Yeah, empty netter.
Yeah, 4-1.
I was going to say
we were talking about the picks. So these are ESPN's picks. 14 of the 16 people picked the Bruins, and most of them picked the Bruins 5 or 6. Well, there are a few sevens in there as well. And remember, Washington's your number 2 seed. The Bruins are your number 3 seed. But Washington was in bad shape. I just think that first game is it's really not a good indication of where this series is. And that's why I think they come back big tonight. If they don't, I think even if you get an 0-2, I might sound like a fool here, down 0-2, I still think they win the series. It's just probably going to go
as
7 games.
As Swayman as your goalie?
7 games. Might be Swayman as your goalie.
He's not going to start one game.
Swayman's not going
to
start.
What does
one
it have
game.
To
you
look like? What do you think it has to look like?
Oh, I think Tuca has
to
be.
You're going to pull him.
Well, one thing.
Go tell that to Bergeron, Marchand. Okay. Go tell those guys, hey, we're going to take Tuca out.
So one thing, if the back is bothering him again, then it's an injury thing, and it's an easy replacement.
Different.
If he comes out and he is shaky, and maybe it is has something to do with they're worried about him physically because he's shaky a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised for them to go to Swayman.
These guys have been around enough. They know they're hockey players. If they're sitting there and there's a couple of bad goals, they're not going to be happy either, right? So, I mean, I just don't see it happening. I really don't.
But I don't think it's like the...
But if it's a few softies, then yeah, I could see them making it.
But I don't think it's like past years, Lou, when you were talking about Halak backing him up. It's not about past years. I think they really do have confidence in this kid, and they should the way he's played. Mm-hmm. They should. Here's Mark in Boston wants to talk about Tuca. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
I don't know how you think, but Rask carried that team 2 years ago, all right? The path was paved for them to go as far as they did because Tampa, Pittsburgh, and Washington all got eliminated in the first round. Mm-hmm. But get to this year, all right? I'm not taking Rask out for game 2 unless, like you said, that back injury is bothering them and they have no choice because I don't want to rely on a kid that played 10 or plus games. And, yeah, he looked good during the regular season, but the playoffs are a totally different ball game. And defensively, they need to step it up a little bit more. The third pair, Lazan and Miller, if you notice, Laviolette had Ovechkin out when those guys were on the ice.
Yes.
You know, he plays matchups, and Cassidy doesn't want to do that. I don't know why.
Well, last change.
And here's another thing. Chara didn't play against the top 6. He played against the last 2 lines. So you need to dump the puck in and go get it when he's out there on the ice.
Mark, I agree, but, you know, you're on the road. I mean, Laviolette can do that stuff, right? The last change and everything. But, I mean, Lazan's out. Clifton is in tonight. So we'll see if that makes a difference. But I am sure Laviolette's going to try to still get that line up against him whenever he has an opportunity.
I don't know if I would have went with Clifton. I would have went with the bigger guy there, Tenali, for the physical aspect of it. The guy they traded for, Tenorti, he wasn't bad when he played, after they got him and he played a few games. Yeah.
All right, Mark. We were actually talking about the physicality and whether the Bruins could match up with the physicality of the Caps. And we had Pierre McGuire on the other day, and we haven't seen an awful lot of the Capitals. He has. He brought up a different point. It was a good one.
I've done a lot of Capitals games over time, and I don't find them to be one of those teams that's going to go out there and try to maul you. I did talk about their fourth line, Christian, and I think it's really important. Darrell Hagelin's not a real physical guy. Garnet Hathaway is and McDowell is. Those guys really play with a purpose. So if you want to call that rolling around in the mud, I guess you can. But most of their guys are super skilled and really fast, and they're not shy. They're not shy, but they're not a dirty team. I don't find the Capitals to be a dirty team.
Kind of the perception I had that they were really physical and that was what you had to be concerned with, and maybe carried away with guys like Tom Wilson. But his point about the speed, I thought that was a factor in the game Saturday night. They get caught in the offensive end, and Washington was a lot quicker to their offensive end. They had speed. He was right.
Ovechkin's everything, right? Yep. I mean, you see the skill that he has, and he goes around, he's just hitting everyone. You know, and that was coming into it. You sat there and you, I'm not sure Oshie's 100%, but, you know, he was banged up. We mentioned that Saturday, that I think the second to last game, he came out of the game. Ovechkin's missed 7 games, I think, in the last couple of weeks. So that was part of the whole, like, these guys are a little bit beat up, you know, and I don't know how, where they are, if they're 100% or not. Well, they looked it. I don't know if Oshie looked 100%, but Ovechkin sure did.
Yeah.
I mean, buried Krejci early in that game, and you're like, oh, boy, they just sort of bullied him in the first period. Like they came out in the second period. Maybe that's about, is that why, you know, other Lazan kind of coming out of that game? Like, I don't know what the hell he was doing with Ovechkin.
I don't either.
In the corner. I'm like, yeah. Dude, okay, enough. Yeah. Like, enough. It's, what do you want? You want to put him in a power play? Like, really? Is that what you want to do right now? Like, he just sort of lost it, right? But making the switch to Clifton, we'll see how it works.
I don't know if I would have went with Clifton. I would have went with the bigger guy there, Tonelli.
Tonelli. He's a paisan. He's Italian. Whatever. It's all right. We're good with Tonelli. Yeah, we're good.
But I do believe most of the... if they lose this game, you can, again, Tuukka Rask could be terrific in this game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, if they're 0-2, it'll still be about Tuukka Rask. And I think he's one of those guys that is a lightning rod for a lot of different reasons. But don't you really have to go out there and win the championship? Once you win the ring, don't you take all the pressure off yourself? You win it. You're part of a team. But in this case, goaltenders like quarterback. When we're talking about the playoffs, it's the most important guy out there.
Yeah.
And so if you win it, it takes all of the pressure off you. So if he had won that against St. Louis a couple years ago, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation.
Part of a team.
I would just say, like, when it comes to your opinion of Rask, like, just don't let your personal feelings like dictate like whether he's a good goalie or not. I think everyone takes it personal. They take what he does personally. Yeah, they take the way he sounds personally.
The fans, of course they do. They're emotionally attached to the team. And when they win, they love it. When they lose, they're pissed off.
He's not a lightning rod. He's a lightning rod. He's a pincushion. I mean, he's a tackling dummy. That's what he is. Let me take out my frustration for what the other guys aren't doing. Let me take it out. Well, listen, and maybe that's the way he's just so... matter of fact, when he speaks.
So they're unfairly attacking him even when he plays well. That part of it, I agree with you. Again, though, the problem is he has a history of not closing it out.
A lot of
he
it's
has
on,
a history of right of walking away. And so the fans are
last
looking
year
at
was, last year was a bad
okay,
look.
Okay, was a but, terrible look. What, and what, again, it's a what, family situation.
Okay, so
and
why
I'm not gonna try to judge him based on his family situation. I still don't know how serious his daughter was. But if you're a fan and you want to win the championship, you want to win the cup, and in the middle of the series, the guy walks away, you're sitting there all pissed off.
That's how warped everybody's. This is how warped everybody's mind
so
is.
So fans can be warped.
Hold on.
You're right.
The guy leaves, and he just gives the reason because of family. He doesn't really go into detail, and nobody believes him. Like, that's usually a get-out-of-jail-free card in any situation, under any circumstances. Hey, my daughter this, my youngest that, my mom this, my whatever. Oh, okay. You don't ask any questions. Nobody believed him.
Well, to me, it's just more of like, the concerns I always have with Tuukka is like, again, like you said, and part of that is just it's past experiences. Is he going to be there? Can you rely on him? But that concern is gone because you got the kid Swayman if something happens, if he is injured. Huh. But I agree with you overall. It's just like Tuukka, when he has played, Tuukka's very, very good goalie.
Yeah.
But even after the game, I want to get to that Kevin Paul DuPont sound. Like, the game is over. Like, it's game one of a 7-game series, and Kevin Paul DuPont starts asking about his future.
Do you go into these playoffs thinking how these playoffs go will determine whether you want to continue your career after this year, or do you already know where you're going after this season?
I haven't really thought of that. I think I just try to go, you know, game by game, series by series, and then, you know, see what the future brings after that. Obviously, there's going to be some decisions to be made, but we'll do that when the time's right. Now, right now, I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking, you know, game by game and series by series. And
health wise, body wise, you feel good enough. You could go.
Play after this year?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not going to ask that right now. I'll talk to you after the season. You'll find out.
Okay, thanks.
When you think of it in context of right after game one in which they lost the game, it is pretty dumb question to be asking him at that point. And I'm
Let
not
me
saying...
fool you, Mr. I'm not, DuPont.
I'm not I saying that the question...
I'll mess with her.
That there's not a place for that question somewhere down the line.
It's just not after game one.
So what do you expect him to answer at that point?
I mean, you physically feel good enough to play next year. Like, dude, I'm still playing.
No, no, no. If you're asking the question, like, Lou, if you're asking the question, are you physically able to play game two?
Right.
I can understand the question.
That's what I'm saying.
You're asking him next season.
But I mean, did you, you know, are we asking Krejci after game one? Like, hey, do you think you're going to play next year? Have you decided what you want to do? Are you going to retire? You know, so if you play well in this, are you going to keep playing? Like, it's just such a strange question. Like, if they get eliminated and it's the post game and Tuca's up there, absolutely fire away.
Absolutely.
You know, fire away. I don't know where you are physically. I know it's early. I mean, because you never, I mean, it's probably a bad time still, but you got to ask him in the media. Like, you know, is this it for you? You know, do you plan on coming back here next year? And I'm sure he'd give it the whole, I got to give it some time, whatever, whatever. But not after game one of a 7-game series in the first round.
Yeah. That's a question you ask, you know, at the end of a Super Bowl, the end of a World Series. Do the same thing with Cassidy. Hey, Cassidy, listen, I mean, you really feel like it's coaching where you want to be the rest of your life?
Play after this year?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask that right now.
Yeah, because he probably is thinking, am I healthy enough to play game two? What are you asking me about next year? I mean, it is a bizarre question.
It's the
question.
Most random question. It's so irrelevant as
well,
far as
well,
what
I know
they're trying
a lot,
to
I know a lot of people are talking about it, though, Christian. They're
talking about what?
Whether he's going to retire, what he's going to do, what they're going to do. But it is the end of game one. It's game one. It makes no sense. It was totally out of place.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to announce my retirement
right
today.
Now. Right now.
Kevin Paul DuPont.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't care about game two. The rest of the team can go and play it.
Yeah, game
Here's
two.
Here's the kid Swayman. I'm Dunsky.
Yeah. 1-1, was it? If they're down 2-0, if it's 1-1, Kevin Paul's, do you have a better idea what your future's going to be like now?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Have you had time to rethink it?
Oh, man.
Reevaluate it. It's not as good as it was before.
All right, those are the Bruins. Big game tonight. 7:15 again, puck drop. Is that right?
7:30
puck drop.
As Christian will tell you here soon.
Very good. It's got a trending coming up. Talking about trending, we go from the playoffs to the play-in. Yeah, the play-in. Anybody give a rat's ass about the play-in? We'll find out next.
Show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I don't want to be inside your mind with your kinky fantasies. Like, I know it involves like a ham sandwich or something like that.
What is wrong with that?
Now back to OMF.
Playing Washington, I mean, obviously Washington's rolling. They're a heck of a basketball team. You know, obviously it starts with Westbrook and Beal, but they've got great size. They've got a lot of different ways that they can play. You know, they can go small with Ishmith and Neto and with those guards and be super fast and hard to keep in front. They can go way bigger with shooting, with posting. And so they're a handful. Tuesday night's going to be one heck of a challenge. And so we'll start getting ready for that tomorrow.
Boy, sound pretty good there, Brad. It's a good team. Wow. So this must be like what, the finals or semifinals or Eastern? Nope.
It's history, Glenn.
It's the play-in round.
You are part of history.
Play-in round.
Yep.
So the Celtics are 1.5-point favorites for this game tomorrow night. Based on what?
I have no idea. You want to give me 1.5? I'll take the points.
Playing at home?
So last 23 games, Celtics are below 500, and this Washington team is 17-6.
Yeah.
So they're playing at a much higher level than the Celtics, and I'm supposed to feel good about the Celtics. Why? Because they're playing at the Garden?
See, I just feel like a lot of them, like the people that support, and poor Greeny, you know, Stewie Greeny, like he's just like defending this team on Twitter, and it's like, God, you got to just stop. Like, it's like denial, you know what I mean? Like, even if Jaylen Brown was healthy, you would still, you could convince some people of hope.
Right.
You know, you could say, you know what, maybe it'll just click. There's still a bunch of talent. Maybe they've waited to the postseason to actually play defense. You know, they still, you know, Kemba and Marcus and Jalen and Jason and Fournier is playing great right now. He's locked in. And Robert Williams, day to day. I don't know. Tristan Thompson, some experience. You might be able to try to convince yourself that Nesmith's giving you, like, off the bench. But there's no Jaylen Brown. I think you're sitting in denial. Like, I'm not even sure they can get out of this play-in round. I don't think they win tomorrow night. I don't know what happens in that second game. But even if they do get in and you got to play, if you win tonight, you got to play Brooklyn. Do you win a game? Probably not.
I would say it would be difficult.
And Fabo, okay, if you lose and then win, you play Philly. Do you win one game? Like, you might win one game. Like, you are in denial.
Let's put it this way. Neither one of those will be the long
series.
Even
with Jalen Brown, I think you're in denial.
Yes.
But, I mean, you could convince me that something, okay, let me see it. You never know. It might click. I have no idea. But without him? Like, it's over. Like, it's over. Like, what are we even talking about?
So there are some good things. Okay, so, obviously, no more back-to-back. So, Kemba can play in every single
game.
He's
fine. I'm not worried about Kemba.
If you do get into, but I think that is important.
Well, he's well-rested now, too. Because I do think this,
you're well-rested, and then you have, the only guy you're missing is Jalen Brown. You're only missing one guy. So, I would say, under those circumstances, I mean, you should still be competitive. You should still be in it till the end. But do you guys think this team has an on and off switch? Do you feel like they have the capability of just flipping that switch like we talk about all these different times, and they can just, bam, they flip it, and then everybody's in lockstep with the other guy?
No.
Not even
close.
When
have they shown you this year at all? Like, you can go through some good stretches, and I could also point out the teams they played. Well, a big win against the Lakers? What, without LeBron and Anthony Davis? Like, you know, it's just, no, there's never been a switch that went off. You know, you could say, what do they need? Play defense. Playoffs? Okay, show up with the intensity. That might be the switch. But now you don't have Jalen Brown.
See, my thing is, like, I want to see how much pride they have. So Brad talks about we're small, and so we have to make up for our lack of size by running and sprinting. So we have to make up for it because we're just a small team. So, fine. So, can you do that for four quarters? Can you? I personally don't think they have the muscle power. I don't think they have the bench to do it.
Well, the thing that scares me the most with this game against Washington is the one thing that the Celtics have lacked all year long has been defense. Now, we've seen them play defense for a quarter, but we haven't seen them really play many games where they defend for 48 minutes. That's what you're going to have to do against Washington. Washington will score. They have a triple-double machine that gets everybody involved in their offense. And they can, if you're lackadaisical, they can put 125, 130 points up on the board. Go look at some of their games. They're not going to defend you because they're not a good defensive team. So you're either going to have to try to outscore Washington. Good luck with that. Or maybe play the type of defense that the Boston Celtics have played over the last few years that everybody has told me led them into the Eastern Conference Finals. They play that type of defense tomorrow night, maybe shoot some threes, maybe get Kemba involved in a little bit, maybe Tatum score 35, 40 points, then they win that game. But I don't feel like they're going to go out and defend tomorrow night. Where's it been?
No, they haven't defended all year. So what makes you think all of a sudden? All right, and then I will say this. Okay, well, how did they fare the last three times they played against the Wizards? Well, how did they stop? Did they stop Bradley Beal? No, he had 45 points, 41 points, 35 points, and 46 points. They have no answer for Bradley Beal.
No.
Zero. Russell Westbrook is going to get a triple-double. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to get it. That's just what he does. That's what he's been doing. So, all right.
Ish Smith will probably light him up, you know? So you got to worry about some other guys as well, mainly because Russell Westbrook gets so many of those guys involved in the offense. But I haven't seen any commitment to the defensive end. And that's the question. Are you going to go out there and defend? Maybe put some pressure on Bradley Beal. Maybe you do that. I don't know.
Listen, this series, this play-in game, one or two, whatever, or even if they play the Sixers. Well, hell, the Lakers are playing. How about that?
They're playing in the play-in. And I would worry, if I were the Lakers, I would worry about who they're playing. They're playing Golden State. If Steph Curry lights it up and he starts throwing those 35-foot threes,
I know this isn't a Lakers show, but to LeBron,
you want it to be, though.
LeBron, this is what he does. He's slick this way. He's already giving himself like an excuse if they lose. Oh, you know, we're playing against the MVP of the league, guys.
Steph Curry's hyping him up.
He's like, Steph Curry. He said, nobody's playing better than him. You guys watched him? It's like he's overdoing it. I mean, you know, and almost say, listen, guys, I told you. I mean, we shouldn't be playing in this game. Two, it's the MVP.
Well, the problem is, a seven-game series, I take the Lakers over Golden State.
Yeah.
But Steph could go for 65.
Absolutely.
And just be like, what do we do? He's over the half-court line, and he's shooting.
I know.
And
how
he's
do you
hitting
defend
it.
Him?
Like, what do we do here, right?
Right.
So, I don't – that's a good one. That's a 10 o'clock Wednesday night. Golden State at the Lakers.
Yeah, but that's
10 p.m.
That's fine because it's going
you
to be.
You got a 9 o'clock game.
Yeah, it's going to be played for West Coast people. It's two California teams.
I know, but the East Coast want to watch it too. 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but the...
Be over at 12:45.
But why are we playing here at 7 o'clock? Why didn't
9 o'clock.
Right. Why 9 o'clock. Why didn't they switch it and have one East Conference and West Conference one night instead of doing the East Conference on the first night and the West Conference on the second night?
Well, what were the other games? Indiana, and what's the other game? Is it Memphis?
No, it's Indiana and Charlotte are playing
tomorrow Indiana.
Night. Right. And then you're getting Memphis and San Antonio are playing the same night the Lakers are playing.
The other thing is that
they're doing it that way.
So play even like Memphis, San Antonio, play have them play like the late game tomorrow night.
Right.
Celtics play at 6:30, right?
Yeah. But
this is like the longest layoff between regular season and the official start of the playoffs. Like teams that are already like Philly,
Christian,
Milwaukee.
We have to get the play-in tournament.
It really is crazy.
It's a play-in tournament.
So these teams are just gonna be sitting around. Just waiting for the official start of the playoffs.
How many features do you think are going to be written about in the next 2 days about Bradley Beal and his brother, Jason Tatum, because they both grew up in St. Louis. So Beal talks about facing Tatum.
Oh, I mean, it's the same as it always is. Like we're very competitive. You know, that's my brother at the end of the day. We love each other to death off the floor. It's always fun. You know, I'm always his biggest fan and just watching him grow in the league and just to see his strides and to see where he's going. But I'm definitely excited about my team and where we are and the possibilities and chances we have in beating them and moving forward.
What do we think? There's going to be some hug fest going on?
Before? Oh, there'll be a lot of love.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. Unfortunately, at the end, who gets the winning hug? Who gets the
listen? If those two want to go back and forth to see who can score the most points, fine. I'm totally into it. I'm totally fine with it. Like, listen, if Jason Tatum completely disregards all his other teammates because he's trying to keep up with Bradley Beal, I'm fine with it.
See, here's the other.
Totally fine with it. Like, make it entertaining. Go back and forth like a heavyweight fight.
So here's the other one that I think is an interesting dynamic. And think about this. We constantly talk about how desperate teams get when it is elimination game. Okay. This game tomorrow night is not an elimination game for the Boston Celtics. It is for the Washington Wizards, right?
That's a good point.
They lose the game, they are done-ski. They're gone. All right? Season is over. For the Celtics, if they lose that game, they get to play another one in the very next night.
Wait, what do you mean? Whoever loses this game plays the winner of the next game.
Washington plays...
Whoever loses this game plays the winner of Indiana.
So, no, the winner of this game is the number seven
yeah,
seed.
The number seven
and
seed.
The loser plays the winner of that second game.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're right. You're right. They're both in.
They both
have,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong on that.
Well, but I would add to this, though, because I think you were onto something. The fact that Washington has been playing just better, not like they're like they're peaking at the right time. You mentioned they're 17-6. They finished 17-6. And then the Celtics, on the other hand, they lost 9 of the last 13.
Yeah. Well, get to the point. I thought they were playing Charlotte, like no questions asked.
We all did.
Yeah, and then next thing you know,
Washington,
all three of them are tied going into that final game. You're like, what the hell just happened here?
And
Washington went on a tear.
And Washington was down like, I want to say 12 or 13 in that game in Charlotte because I watched a little bit of it. And next thing I know, Bradley Beal goes on a tear in the fourth quarter. And so he's got apparently a hammy, but he really didn't look like he was lumbering much in the fourth quarter of that game against Charlotte. But this play-in game is just so weird to look at. I don't think any of the Celtic fans are excited about it. I don't know what you guys are seeing out there. I don't think there's a buzz out there at all. None. And these are Celtic fans. Because I think they believe, like we do, that if you win this game or you lose this game and you win the next game because you still have a second opportunity.
Double elimination.
Right. Once you get in, whether it's up against Philly or up against Brooklyn, you don't have a chance. I don't think anybody believes they really have a chance in anyone.
Dan Greenberg on Twitter at Stool Greeny is talking himself into the fans being back in the crowd as the reason the Celtics are going to come back and win a series.
I mean, I feel
playoffs.
Bad for him. Like even I gave up on the Sox last year. You know what I mean? I know they're awful,
get
but
angry.
It's like. You know, he's like, fans come back. I could see them, you know, sparking and having a series in the first round because of it. And it's like, oh, my God.
He says, feels like the Seas are down 1-2 in the series heading into game four. Then the crowd wills them to win the game. We have ourselves a series once again.
Oh, he went walk through it. He just like.
May
just
29th,
like,
the big day. Celtics are back.
So he thinks that once they fill up the. Can I give him an answer to this? So if they end up playing Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs, correct me if I'm wrong. Who has had the best home record in the last 2 years in the National Basketball Association?
That would be Philly.
And Philadelphia will be playing before full crowds, correct?
That is true.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, shut up.
Just checking. This hour brought to you by FineMassMoney.com. Coming up next, Joe Girardi had a rough weekend. How about Kwame Brown? He's put up with 20 years of jokes. He has had it. We got it next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Head down!
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. Kwame Brown, famous for being one of the biggest draft busts in NBA history. I can make an argument for Darko, number two, Detroit Pistons. All the Smoke podcast, we're taking major shots at Kwame Brown. And this is just a minute of Kwame's hour-long response.
I think you guys need to focus and channel that energy on some more real problems, like the way we are as black males and the way that we look. And Steven Jackson, maybe you could put that blunt out and pull your pants up on your ass and put that rag down and act like a grown-ass man instead of a little-ass boy. Becky with the good hair, go to counseling. And Gilbert, you already knew. I was quiet on you for years. I wasn't going to say nothing. You the right-hand arm of them white boys. You is the worst. You took food. You took down there. What did I get? 3 years, 25 with the Lakers? I was slotted to get 80, 88 because what a Tyson got. You took millions out my mouth. You shout like you somebody, like you love black folks. You the whitest black boy I ever know. Becky with the good hair, you need counseling, boy. All that goddamn rage for no reason. She chose. She Ooh. Chose.
Jeez.
I mean, that is.
So what he's talking about there, the she chose was Matt Barnes' wife choosing Derek Fisher, his teammate. Yeah, Matt Barnes' wife left him Fisher.
Yeah. Well, and didn't Matt Barnes drive from
He drove 95 miles to have a fist fight with Derek Fisher.
That's right.
And Becky with the good hair?
And that is Becky you with the good hair.
No, it wasn't 95 miles. Wasn't he in Sacramento or Golden State?
Temecula, right? Temecula, California?
Okay. You need counseling.
Where's Temecula?
I'm trying to remember where Temecula is.
Right, okay, let's get to Joe Girardi. Second baseman Gene Segura missed a routine pop fly. This is Girardi after the game.
What was the problem there?
I have no idea. Offense, you're going to get shut down sometimes. Right. You know, that's going to happen. But catch the ball. Just catch the ball. That's all we need to do. And I don't know what that is. They work every day. They do their stuff. It has to be they're just not following the ball in their glove. Miscommunication. It shouldn't happen at this level.
Will you speak to guys about this?
I always take care of stuff, Jimmy.
Apparently, it didn't work.
Catch the ball.
It didn't work.
Catch the ball.
Apparently, like Brad Stevens, they're not listening. So we take you to the next day. That would be yesterday. Segura blows a routine transfer to set up the double play. The cameras show Girardi and Segura. They have a heated exchange in the dugout. Joe talked about it after the game.
What happened in the dugout?
The bench conversation meant for the bench.
Were you disappointed?
The bench conversation meant for the bench.
Okay. Thank you.
And you said conversation for the bench, but do you think that matter is resolved, or do you still have to figure that out?
That's my job.
And you said the Segura thing, it's your job. It's your job to...
Guys, you can ask all you want. You got everything you're going to get about it. All right? I'm done with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jim and then Bob.
I know you're doing your job, but that's it.
Okay.
Joe, conversation or confrontation?
Next question.
How about the optics of all this?
Next question.
I mean,
Jimmy, I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
I mean, that is a baseball question. That was, you know, about the baseball team.
All right. Anyone else?
All right, I'll move on to Bob. We'll finish up here.
Wow, he's got
Philly's tougher than New York, Joe. It's tougher.
I mean, it just from
Jimmy.
The baseball.
I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
Seattle.
Did you find
Seattle?
I mean, that is a baseball question. That was, you know, about the baseball team.
Seattle.
Anyone else?
All right, I'll move on to Bob. We'll finish up here.
Seattle.
I will say this.
Conversation or confrontation?
Yeah. You don't hear enough managers do this. And he pretty much told you everything without saying it in that last
cut. Joe, conversation or confrontation?
Catch the ball.
I mean, just, you're a big leaguer, man. Catch the ball. You're shortstop, for Christ's sakes. Catch the ball.
Catch the ball.
That's all.
Just catch it. I do love that. We need more of that in baseball, right? We need
more, Joe.
Next question.
Next question.
All right, boys. It's a Mutt at Night tonight. There's no baseball.
Here we go. Big game. What do we got? I got 4-1 Bruins.
I got 4-1.
I'll take 3-1 Bruins.
Yep.
3-1 Bruins.
Empty netter makes it 4.
One apiece, and then we'll move on to the play-in game.
Let's go, Tuca.
The play-in game.
No softies.
Enjoy the game, everybody. We'll be back. Mutt at Night coming up next. We're back tomorrow at 2. Stay safe out there.
I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
Tomorrow night, a tight race in the AL East continues. It's Sox and Jays. Pre-game 6:37. First pitch 7:37. The home of the Sox.
WEEI.